This is a happy moment. So, dear Thay, dear Sangha. This is really a happy moment. I'm very happy to be here. As I said earlier, it really feels like being at home with family. And also full of gratitude. I know that offering a Dharma talk is a skill, and skills take time and practice to develop. So thank you for this opportunity to develop a skill. The topic of our day is Mother Earth as the Kingdom of Heaven. So I'll do my best to offer a guided tour of the pieces of the Kingdom of Heaven that I've experienced with the practice. I'm not a licensed tour guide, and I'll share what I've seen. And the pieces that are useful, that are helpful, and I'm glad that do transmit it, and the pieces that are not useful and not helpful, it's good we can just pull the cord and let everything flow. Thay often says, this is a happy moment, and he also says, this is a legendary moment. And it really is a legendary moment. We're all here, and we're still alive. And so much has had to have happened for us to be here. In the guided meditation, there was the part about our ancestors, and also in the walking meditation. And sometimes when I reflect on ancestors, I like to breathe and bring ease and joy and sit together with my grandmother inside of me. But we have many, many ancestors that go back a long time. After the first billion years of planet Earth, we started to have our first ancestors that had life forms, which are small bacteria. And it took them a long, long, long time to develop photosynthesis, using the photons that came from the sun to break water, and to use that energy to build cells over time of larger organisms. And we are their success story. And we've had many, many, many generations of different life forms that were successful in adapting to difficult conditions and finding food, finding sustenance, being able to rest and reproduce. Many, many generations. And for a long time, there had not been born a single eye. So there was planet Earth, and there was life, but there was no seeing yet, because there was no eye and there was no brain that had been developed in order to see. And at one point, the very first eye was born. And that also was a legendary moment, when planet Earth, life on Earth, was able to open its eye with the brain able to receive that stimulus and see itself. The planet was seeing itself. It really was a legendary moment, and we are the success story of that ability to see. We have many different senses that we used already today. Perhaps I was not the only one to really enjoy looking at the clouds as the earth looking at its own body. Listening to the children play and talk, and the adults play and talk, invite each other to enjoy nature. It's nice to see that with the eyes of the earth. Also in the meditation I heard maybe a snore, a half a snore. And really beautiful to hear the sounds and not think, oh, we shouldn't be sleeping in meditation. But seeing, hearing is the earth. Oh, one of my children is resting. That's a very nice way to be, a very nice ability to cultivate. And we are not cultivating that in ourselves. It is actually the earth that is cultivating it through us, so we can be doubly joyful. So this is many, many legendary moments. And as we develop awareness, it's another eye that's opening. The earth is beginning to see herself, is beginning to understand herself. Just beginning. And that's a legendary moment. I forgot the name, the author of King Solomon's Ring, an ethologist, said that the connection, the missing link between animals and human beings is us. We're not fully human yet. We are just the moment of awakening, of becoming human. So this is a happy moment. And on our guided tour, we can use our legs, we can use our imagination, we use our ears. Where I live in Italy, I live in an emerging place for practice and care for the mind, care for the earth. It's called Pardesa. And we have a special member of the Sangha there, and that's the high-speed train. It's called the Freccia, the arrow. And the train goes maybe 250 kilometers an hour. And out of nowhere, it's in the countryside, in the mountains, south of Bologna, and everything is so quiet. It's next to a nature reserve. And then all of a sudden, out of a tunnel, you hear, and it goes 100 meters and enters into another tunnel. And then it's silence again. And I think that's the most beautiful thing about Pardesa. Because whenever we hear the train pass, whatever we're doing, if we're speaking or if we're working or thinking, we stop and we relax our shoulders. And we take our gaze away from whatever we were thinking or looking at, and we notice something new. We notice maybe the skyline or the leaves fluttering in the wind. We can bring the gaze inside and notice the feelings. And have three breaths. And those three breaths, they're all very different. That first breath, it's not really wanting to stop. There's an energy that's pushing us to finish what we were saying, or finish cutting some zucchini flowers for lunch. So there's that first breath is just kind of realizing, oh, something is changing here, something is stopping. And the second breath is starting to realize, oh, this is what stopping is like. And allowing the body to stop. And the third breath is really enjoying the resting. And it's really amazing. And I really wish for all of you to have a train pass. Maybe close, maybe far from home. And to really enjoy, notice the difference between the three different breaths. So maybe we can hear a portable train and enjoy the difference between the three breaths. It's nice to bring our attention to the smiles in the room as well. So when we think of Mother Earth, lately we think of the planet Earth. From the global scale, we can see the small blue marble against the black backdrop of space. And perhaps we think of the climate crisis that we are facing and that the future will be facing. But that's not all of Mother Earth, and we can begin with part of Mother Earth that's very immediate and very direct, and that's our own body. Our own body is Mother Earth. Every cell in our body comes from somewhere. It comes from the food we eat, it comes from the air we breathe. The energy comes from the sun, or even further away. This body is part of the Earth. And we want to take care of the Earth. We want the Earth to be well. And we can start with this body, which is a part of the Earth that is so close that we have a little bit more ability to help it be well. And one of my favorite practices from Plum Village is deep relaxation. And deep relaxation itself is a guided tour into the pure land of the body. We can go part by part and realize how wonderful it is to have eyes and ears, not only because of the joy of seeing and hearing, but also the tremendous power. With our hands, we can do so much every day. If we're aware of it, we can write a letter that inspires hope and gratitude and appreciation. We can speak words that inspire trust. We can take steps that take care of ourselves the way we walk. And also, we can be the environment for other people who need someone around who is stable and knows how to take care of themselves. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we lived in a place where people around us know how to take care of their body, take care of their emotions, use their body, their heart, their arms, their legs, their eyes, in a way that takes care, and so we can be part of that. That's a tremendous practice. It's very, very deep, deep relaxation. And it's very wonderful to hear it and to lie down and be guided, but I also recommend practicing offering deep relaxation. And it's also nice to sing a lullaby and watching everyone lying down. It doesn't matter if they're men or women or young or old or what nationality they are, just wanting people to rest. Tai tells us something quite shocking. He says he wouldn't want to send his children to a place where there's no suffering. Because when there's suffering, we're able to cultivate compassion. And compassion is one of the beauties of life. Compassion is very healing. So whether we like it or not, there's also suffering in the body. There's small suffering and there's larger suffering. And our practice in coming home to the body is also not just to notice the wonders of life, the pure land in terms of its joy, but also to cultivate compassion for the parts of our body that are suffering. Because that compassion is beauty. And part of that compassion, from that compassion, we find non-fear. Because we are not afraid of the suffering of the body. We want to take care, we want to be in contact with the suffering. If there's a suffering in our belly, if there's a suffering in our chest, if there's pain somewhere and we run away from it, we can't really take care of it. And so from our compassion comes a desire to be in contact with the suffering. And I think that's one of the beauties of Tai, of the Plum Village practice, of the message of the Buddha, is that there's something noble about suffering because it inspires our care. If we find the desire and the courage and the compassion to really be in touch with it. And sometimes the suffering or the pain doesn't go away immediately. And that gives us a chance to continue developing our care and our compassion and our presence. So that's part of the body as the kingdom of heaven. So a nice practice is simply to be aware of the body. Breathing in, dear body, I know you are there. I know you're a miracle. Breathing out, dear body, I'll take good care of you. I know you're a miracle. A success story of millions of generations. Dear body, I'll take good care of you. Dear earth, in this body, I'll take care of you. And the next stop on our guided tour of the kingdom of heaven and planet Earth is this person that we are. There's the body, and the body is built in such a way that consciousness can emerge. And that's quite rare. It's quite beautiful. Our consciousness needs care also and presence. And it's a beautiful garden to develop. Our body is a beautiful flower in the garden of humanity, and also our mind, our consciousness. And we have a lot of beautiful qualities to appreciate in our mind. Gali was setting up this little space with the flowers and something to offer beauty to us. And I was looking at the table and admiring the beauty of Gali's mind in terms of taking care for all of us, to take care of all our mind. And I remember Thay sometimes asks his monks when he sees them maybe cultivating carrots, planting. He says, what are you doing? And if the monk says, I'm pulling carrots, it's true. It's not the whole answer. I say, Gali, what are you doing? She says, I'm setting up the table, which is true. But she was also taking care. And she said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm appreciating a beautiful mind. And I think all of us together, the fact that we're here is because there are many beautiful minds, many beautiful people. And I know that part of the message of the Buddha is non-self, but non-self doesn't mean there's not a person here. I see someone and I wish them well. And I can also see myself. I don't have to be a separate entity that's never changing. But there's a body here and there's a person here. And that person is part of is one expression of Mother Earth. And there's also suffering. There's also parts of us that we wish were different, parts of us that we can't quite seem to change. And it would be nice to see ourselves through the eyes of our mother, our birth mother, our planet mother. Thay says we don't have to stop suffering to be happy. There's room for both. And so we can go a little easy on ourselves and cultivate the beauty. Also recognizing the beautiful aspects of ourselves is part of cultivating it. So, dear person, dear self, I know you're a miracle. I know you're part of Earth. I know you're part of the kingdom of heaven. Dear self, I'll take good care of you. Another beautiful stop on our guided tour of the Kingdom of Heaven is community. And community is not different from ourselves, it's not different from our body. From the perspective of the earth, we are all cells. We're all made of elements of the earth. Just like the water, the waves are made of the water and the sea. And from the viewpoint of the sea, sometimes it sees single waves. And sometimes it can view many waves together. And they're all part of the sea. I had a wonderful dinner at Dorit and Howard and nurtured my body and myself with their care, with their dinner as well, but also with their generosity and care and conversation. And that has become a part of me. I think we're all here because something has touched us from perhaps from the message of Thay and other people who have allowed that message to reach us. So the distinction between each other is not as clear as we might believe. And this community is really beautiful. We live in a place that is suffering. There's a lot of confusion and sadness and pain, also generational pain. And who is going to take care of this society? Who's going to take care of us? This is such a rich, rich place. So much difference in ways of thinking, so many different traditions, so many people willing to think and speak differently than others. And there's also a lot of pain that we carry. And someone needs to take care of that. And it's a flower blooming in the Pure Land, in the Kingdom of Heaven, that there is a community. There are many communities, not just this one. We're all doing our best, and there's no one way to do things. But it's really beautiful that we can come together, that in Earth and planet Earth, with the suffering, there's also great care. And we put our energy into meeting together, to sitting together, to stopping and looking deeply, to appreciate, to drink tea together, to sing songs together. I'm very touched that this community is blooming, that this community is continuing, that everyone is doing their part, and we're taking care. That's part of the Kingdom of Heaven. And when we stop, we can allow that Kingdom to be more real inside of us, and then we also contribute that. We make it stronger. So sometimes we look at it as if it's always there, and we stop to recognize it. And sometimes we cultivate it, we recognize it, we give strength to it. They're both true. Thay speaks often of collective energy, that when we come together we generate a collective energy, a field of collective energy. Sometimes it's hard to stop, to really stop. And we need to rely on each other, we need to support each other. Sometimes that stopping is formal sitting meditation. Sometimes that stopping is simply meeting at each other's houses for a cup of tea and listening to each other and also enjoying the space. Once I was sitting with a friend, and we said, before we speak, let's be aware of why we're speaking, of that initial motivation for wanting to speak. And we spent about 10 minutes I don't think we said a single word. Mm-hmm. Every time we were about to speak, then we stopped and we recognized and we left. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that motivation is to fill space. Sometimes that motivation is to express gratitude. But then when you notice that need for expression, you don't always have to express it. You've already seen it. And sometimes we need to look deeply. Today we've requested that the meals are vegan. Again, there are many ways of taking care, and our species is experimenting at this moment with different ways. But one of the ways is looking deeply into the impact of our way of eating, of our way of life, of our civilization, and the well-being of ourselves, of other species on the planet. And when we stop and we look deeply, we see the suffering that we cause to animals, the suffering of cows. I was reading of how when they take away the calves, the mother cows would kind of, in a particular place in northern Italy, they would chase the truck as far as they could until they get to the end. And I wouldn't want any being to any mother to have to chase her child away, being taken away. And also we're aware of the fires in the rainforest and elsewhere in the world. We know that the rainforest is being cut down primarily to produce grain for beef. And that's leading to the destruction of our planet, and our generation and future generations will have to pay for that. And it doesn't mean that we all have to immediately stop and become vegan, but it's nice to, for one day, for one meal, encourage each other to have one meal where we don't eat animal products. And also maybe be aware of where fruit is coming from. It might be vegan, the banana that comes from Costa Rica, but it might also not be so good for the planet. I'm happy to buy avocado from Sicily. It's a little bit closer when I see it comes from Peru. Yeah. It becomes less tasty. And in Pardesa, I'm betting on climate change because things are getting hotter and hotter, so maybe I'll plant some avocado now. So 20 years from now, I'll be able to eat avocado. So as a community, we can wake up and learn to take care in ways that we can't individually. Maybe not all of us would have been eating vegan this one meal a day today. I'd like to share a short story. Something Ty said, it was a question and answer. And maybe 2009, at that time there were Tibetan monks who were immolating themselves. They were setting themselves on fire in order to attract the world's attention to what was going on, the oppression in Tibet. And someone asked Thay, he said, Thay, what can we do to help the situation in Tibet? And Thay said, you need time. That you need time in the day in order to stop and reflect and think and find what ways to help Tibet. Said if our lives are so busy, and I would add, and we're caught in perhaps our smaller dramas, what Carl Riedel says, that me, my, mine, being hurt or in the stories we tell ourselves, we don't have time. And coming together is a way to have time. It's good to stop, and then, which is the practice of shamatha, and there's the practice of vipassana, looking deeply. We look deeply into our own suffering, and we look deeply into the suffering of others, and we look deeply into the suffering of planet Earth, of Mother Earth. And we find ways to encourage each other. So we look deeply in order to see the joy and the beauty of Mother Earth, which is what we've been doing today. And we look, we stop and we come together and we find the courage to look at the suffering. Just like we look at the suffering of our body with courage, with care, and we don't run away from it. And we look at the suffering of ourselves with care and courage, and we don't run away. And we find the beauty in compassionate action. As a community, we can learn to not run away from the suffering of other species, of other people, of other peoples, of the planet, and not run away from it. It might not be easy. But that's what we're here to practice. When we see something, we can notice despair, we can notice sadness, we can notice fear. And we take care of that just like we take care of the body, just like we take care of the feelings in ourselves, and then the things that are triggered that have to do with the world, our neighbors, the planet, we can take care of those feelings. And the more freedom we have, the more time we have, the more space we have, the more we can find the courage to engage in compassionate action. And they're all connected. There's an article that I'll share over the internet, written by Kaira Jewel, who used to be Sister Jewel in Plum Village, and now she's a lay Dharma teacher. And she talked about how the mind of exploitation is the same, whether it's exploiting our own bodies, whether it's exploiting other people, whether it's exploiting other peoples, or exploiting Mother Earth. We have a metaphor of exploitation, of separation. In order to exploit, we have to be different, we have to be separate. In order to exploit, what happens to the other has nothing to do with ourselves. And so we treat our bodies with a mentality of exploitation, with a mentality of war. We push our bodies too far. We push ourselves too far. We don't like the parts of us that maybe we want to change. And so we're in a state of war. And we're also in a state of war with planet Earth, with Mother Earth, the way we exploit the Earth. And we need to learn together how to cultivate a different kind of mind. We only have one mind, we have one heart. And wherever we look, we see things with that mind, with those eyes, with that heart. And if we look with the eyes of our mother, then we'll see togetherness, we'll see non-separation, we'll see care and compassion. When we look with the eyes of separation, we'll see something to exploit, we'll see something to defend. So we don't have to push ourselves into become immediate full-time bodhisattvas. That would be another state of war. We accept our fragility, we accept our the fact that we're on the path. But we take time to stop and to cultivate the quality of care, of non-exploitation, of seeing things through the eyes of our mother. When Thay would write poetry against the civil war in Vietnam and the war between communists and anti-communists, he had this metaphor of the mother hen looking at her chicks, paint their faces different colors in order to make war against one another. I don't know how much experience we have with mother hens and chicks these days. Maybe we need other metaphors. But I imagine for the culture of people in the countryside in Vietnam, that may have been very powerful. And also, Thay says that the flower is made of non-flower elements. It's made of the sun. It's made of the earth, made of the clouds. And ourselves are made of non-self elements. Our Sangha is made entirely of non-Sangha elements. The state of Israel, which is so dear to us, is made entirely of non-Israel elements. And I think that's something that we can consider. If I want to be well, I need to take care of my family. I want my family members to be well because I live with them. If I want to be well, or we want to be well as a family, we need to take care of other families. And those of us who live in the state of Israel or care about it, we know that Israel is made of non-Israel elements, and we need to take care of those non-Israel elements. Mother Earth is made of non-Earth elements. We're made of the dust of stars, other suns that have exploded. And united. I could say something else about action, compassionate action. Just like when our body is in pain and we want to take care of our body, we don't have expectations that the pain goes away immediately. Sometimes I can get a headache if I don't have breakfast, if I'm out in the sun too long, if I go swimming, my shoulders get tight, and the next day I might have a headache. And it doesn't go away immediately, but it's nice to just stop and use the train, use the bell, and not fight the headache, not fight the tension, and allow the tension to be there, to be present with it, to hold it with care. And that's that kind of engaging. It's not an engaging of immediately demanding results, but it's a question of showing up. It's a question of really committing to being present with compassion. And I think that's also when there's a suffering. I can go when I'm tired, and when there's something bothering me, I can easily lose myself in the internet, Facebook and YouTube, and running away from suffering, but that doesn't really help. I just notice, oh my God, it's 1 o'clock, and for the last 4 hours I've been watching YouTube. Where's my life gone? And then I'm tired the next day. So we make a commitment, really, and we do to be present for the suffering. And also when we're engaged socially, perhaps we need to have demonstrations. In Italy, also and elsewhere in Europe, there's Extinction Rebellion, and Plum Village has also come out in support of Extinction Rebellion, of demonstrations to ask the authorities to declare a state of climate crisis and take and enact policies that protect the Earth. Also, when our societies have more peace, then we have more time and care, and we're better. We feel better, and we're less afraid for ourselves, so that we can give attention to what's happening in the climate. And that requires a kind of action that is not angry. It requires really committing ourselves out of care and compassion. And we could say that being present with care and courage, it's being present for the sake of heaven, being present for the sake of Mother Earth. And I think also other of our ancestors have expressed the aspiration that everything that we do is for the sake of heaven, whether it's our thoughts or our words or our actions. So I hope you've enjoyed this guided tour. I'm sure you'll all have your own tours that perhaps we can share about in sharing places of the Pure Land that we visited. thank you to Tai for helping open this path, make this path a little wider. And thanks to all of the elements of Mother Earth who have come together to make this a beautiful moment. How lovely it is to sit together as brothers and sisters.